Yeah. Hey everybody, it's the Gootscast for Tuesday the 30th. It's the it's our last episode of March. It's also our only episode this week because we are busy with comedy and shit. But we'll be here all next week because I hate everyone and I just want to be left alone in my house. I'm here with Andrew Lee and we're going to be talking about Impact.
Yeah.
Andrew Lee, did you watch Before the Impact?
Yeah, I did. Did you?
Yeah, I did. I watched Before the
Impact. Okay, I only watched the match. So I didn't
really. I mean, there really was not much to talk about besides the match. So give me your thoughts on the match.
I think I have listened to their talking shit before the Impact. Just like, you know, I would keep it on his background as while I'm working. I think Josh Matthews wants to fuck Gia.
I mean, who doesn't? So
Gia Miller. I don't want to fuck her.
Okay.
Well, she has like a weird look.
I'm sure she'll
I don't know how to explain it, but her face. Like she looks like a barn owl, you know, like a barn owl. You
know? No. Okay. Well,
it's.
I mean, I'd be fine with it. So.
Oh yeah. She's pretty. Oh my gosh, your dog is so cute. God, this, her face is more extra like this today.
Yeah,
it's like flatter. Like it's.
She wouldn't move. I was like sitting on her. I had to pick her up. So.
Yeah. Oh, I get her belly. Anyways, there's only one match on Before the Impact, guys. Today's match. Was Rohit and Hernandez, who Rohit paid to be his tag team partner, versus Falaba and Shira. Shira is still not as good as he should be. You know, he's still like a little slow in the ring, a little phony in the ring. Ends up happening, he takes a chair shot from Hernandez, and then Rohit hits his Mumbai drive-by finisher on Shira for the win. What did you think?
Yeah, you're right about that. But the match was kind of a waste. I don't know why they brought back Shira just to lose to everyone.
Shira has a good look. And
he's
good.
Bad. I never really watched him when they were giving him the push. I heard he's really bad.
Yeah, when he was first in Impact, he was not good. But he was also like, it was like 5 years ago. He was like brand new, you know? Mm-hmm. And then he actually left Impact when it was still TNA, and he by the way when he was in TNA and he was working, he was getting like he was getting partnered up with Al Snow because Al Snow was using him, like training him and stuff, because when Al Snow was there, when he left TNA, he actually got picked up by WWE and he was in NXT, and I guess he sucked so bad they just fucking got rid of him. Like less than a year, they're just like, hit the fucking bricks, you're out, right?
Yeah, you know, because like I know they wanted to do NXT India, so for them to get rid of
him. Yeah, I know. I couldn't believe he wasn't a part of that. He just threw him out. And then I saw him before he came back. I saw him on OVW, the new OVW that's run by Al Snow, because he's got a relationship with Al Snow. And he looked good, but here's the reason why I looked good. He looks good when he just runs in and just fucking slams a whole bunch of people, because he's a big dude and he just like the run in with the slams, it looks cool. But when you put him in an actual match and he has to like work the match, he just looks bad. Because
Is OVW on YouTube?
Yes, OVW is on YouTube. Yes.
Weekly shows?
Man, I don't know if you want to watch that garbage.
It would be interesting to watch OVW from like 20 years ago to now, just to see how it goes from like John Cena and Randy Orton to whatever the fuck it is now.
You know, all those OVWs are actually on YouTube as well. The ones with John Cena and Randy Orton and the Batistas. And the reason I've tried watching the OVW that's on YouTube now, but I don't like amateurish looking like camera work. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
OVW
has been around longer than it's been around longer than fucking TNA and Ring of Honor, and it's like just the worst fucking company.
Yeah,
impressive that it's never died out.
Yeah, and you know what happened too was it got bought by a millionaire or a billionaire in that area. So like they have a financial backer as well. Like that's the weirdest part. They have more money than fucking NWA right now. Yeah. You know that? It's the weirdest fucking
Maybe thing. I'll watch it when we get done. That's funny.
Yeah. By the way, if you don't like that, like it looks like that indie camera work, like, you know, like shitty, like non-professional cameras being filming things, you
like
might
the
not
Zach
like
Zach and Nico show?
Yeah, like you might not like MLW.
OVW.
No, MLW as well.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll see. MLW we're gonna, a little bit guys, bad. Starting when they move NXT to Tuesdays, we're going to be reviewing on Wednesdays MLW and AEW. So,
yeah, I mean, MLW is, oof, it's a rough show too.
If we're free on Wednesdays, you know, with comedy coming back and the government just dying, we should all die.
So we're going to be – so after BTI, we're going to go right into Impact. Now, we have not covered Impact in about, like, what, 2-3 weeks?
Yeah, nothing has happened except Kenny.
Yeah.
Well, we talked about it on Friday. Last week, record low ratings.
Yes.
And so, certainly nothing this week's going to bring it back up.
Yeah. So we haven't – I haven't watched a full Impact in, like, 2-3 weeks, right? When I've watched it, I've only watched like one match or two, or just like kept it around background noise.
Mm-hmm.
And being away from Impact for so long and watching a full Impact again made me realize how bad of a show this is. It's, you know what it is? Like, you know how it's kind of like comedy. When you're in it, you just get numb to it, how bad it is, right? Mm-hmm. You just get used to it. But when you step away from it and you come back and you see how fucking shitty it is, you're just like, what the fuck is this? I feel like that's how a lot of fans view Raw. They go away from Raw for a while, and when they just tune in, they're just like, what the fuck is this garbage? And it just fucking, they're just like, they didn't realize how bad it is. That's how I felt about Impact. I didn't like the show at all. It's a fucking garbage show. Starts off with a women's tag team match, non-title. This is the fucking, we've watched this match over and over again. It's Havoc and Nevaeh versus Fire and Flava, which is Kira Hogan and Tasha Steelz. These are the only two tag teams that they have.
I don't
know
why they brought this belt back. I don't know. Maybe they had the idea that they were going to sign Killer Kelly, Renee Michelle, and the Sea Stars. And then, like, they didn't. Have you noticed
they didn't hire any of them?
They haven't hired anyone lately.
Matilda's falling asleep right after. I just said her name when she woke up.
Dude, she's remembering that match. She's just like, oh, that match was so bad that they're talking about.
She was falling asleep while she's sitting up. That is funny. It's way better than this fucking match. This match was way too fucking long. Right? This is a skip it match. You should not watch this match. Nevaeh still sucks my balls. She's terrible. She's like Shira in the ring. Like everything she does.
No, I think she might be worse. I'll tell you why she's worse.
Yeah.
Did you get to the? So she turns heel.
Oh my god, dude. So okay, before we get to the ending part, what happens is Tasha Steelz hits the top rope splash on Havoc for Flyer and Flava to win clean victory once again. Havoc and Nevaeh just like do this face off thing for like, I don't know, 5 minutes or so, and then Nevaeh fucking turns on Havoc and hits her. Please tell us about this fucking thing. God.
This was probably the worst acted heel turn I've ever seen in my life. I don't know why they thought this was a good idea. In theory, it's really a good idea because Nevaeh is supposed to be like the hot chick, I guess, and the normal one. So. But, like, Nevaeh just goes, you're with the weekly. But she has this big smile on her face the entire time she's, like, turning on fucking Jessica Havoc. And her punches look like my kitten.
Oh, my God, dude. Yeah, she's such punches. She's so fucking bad.
Like, and poor Jessica Havoc is, like, selling, like, Brock Lesnar just F5'd her through a table. And Nevaeh is, like, barely putting – and she's smiling. She looks nervous. Dude, this was – how the fuck did they think this was – this is the thing I don't get about Impact. It'd be one thing if this was live. Like, okay. It's one thing, like, if someone fucks up so bad in the ring in WWE Raw, all right, it's live. So, like, you can blame Vince and all them, but you can also be like, all right, that's on the performer, right? Performance is bad, right? But how did they not watch that footage and be like, we need to retake that or just not do it? Dude, and she has a smile on her face. She looked like she was going to start laughing. I think she was supposed to look like she was crazy.
She's supposed to snap.
She's smiling for a fucking photo, dude. It was brutal. It was one of the worst heel turns I've ever seen.
Dude, this was, and yeah, she's constantly doing the thing where she's grabbing her hair because I'm a crazy person now. I gotta grab my hair. It's just like, oh, it was so
unconvincing.
This match so was bad. So fucking long, too. It was so unnecessarily long. We've seen this matchup. This was the match.
Every week, by the way, also, I'm less into Kira Hogan than the other one.
Tasha Steelz?
Yeah, every week. They look like they're barely trying now. Like, Tasha's twerked, and it looked like they put a gun to her head and told her to twerk. She looks
I mean, like, I wouldn't put that much effort into it if I got to face the same goddamn tag team every fucking week. You know, it's like...
The only person who has
been in a feud since they created the titles. Remember, this is the match
But dude, the only person putting any effort into this fucking thing out of the four of them is Jessica Havoc. Everyone else just looks... It was so bad. I don't know why they aired this. This was...
Yeah, this was not a good open. This was like 15 minutes. This whole segment was 15 minutes. That means that this was like 1/8 of the show. Like,
yeah.
It's a lot. That's a lot of the fucking time for the show.
You constantly give them credit. I don't think this company deserves any credit because they sit on this bad footage for weeks. They could do something about it. They don't have to.
Oh my God. Yeah, weeks. Not
weeks.
Not week. Weeks, plural. Weeks.
They so have. They could always reshoot stuff. They could always be like, oh, this was bad. But no, they film things that are just fucking unwatchable, and then they just put it out there. And
yeah.
I'm sorry, that's why every time you're like, oh no, I think there's a plan, the AEW thing. There's no plan. They just don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, they have Impact Wrestling films like a month in advance. They're sitting on this footage for weeks, but they don't have enough time to edit it because the rest of the week they're too busy sucking Tony Khan's dick. Tastes like a billionaire's. James Storm is getting interviewed about his 1,000th Impact match. And he talks about Bob Ryder. He goes, Bob Ryder gave me a chance at Impact. I wasn't even supposed to have one match with Bob Ryder. Talked him into it. He's such a good man who recently passed away. He's such a good man. He's never done anything bad. And we get a... talks about Chris Harris and everything. And then Chris Sabin comes out with Jake something. And they go, we got a special surprise for you. And they bring out Chris Harris, Wildcat Chris Harris, his first tag team partner. And they hug it out. I thought that was a fun little cameo, Chris Harris coming out.
Yes, I actually went, yes, when they said that. I thought, I'm like, oh, what if they bring back Chris Harris? And they did it. And I was like, woohoo! I don't know if Chris Harris is that cool or that good of a surprise, or if the past year has been so bad. The bar is so lower that Chris Harris walking out is like a huge moment for me.
Yeah, no, I liked it. I liked it a lot. It's a nice moment because
I like it when TNA acknowledges their history because they have so much of it now. Dude, Chris Harris looks so old.
They have a lot of history.
Dude, Chris Harris looks so old. I felt so old watching Chris Harris.
Yeah, he did look old. He did look really very old. Yeah, he didn't. He kept himself relatively in shape. Like, he's not like a huge. Like,
no, but he just looks old in the face.
Yeah, he just looks old. Like, he's just like, he's now a normal human being. Like,
TNA tweeted out a picture of them at the first, because they were at the first TNA pay-per-view.
Yes, yes.
And dude, it was like, oh, it's like, you think like 2002 is like yesterday, at least I do. And then you see this shit and you're like, oh God, like, fuck, I'm just wasting my life. Like, you know, I just wasted everything. I just wasted all my youth. Hoping TNA gets better, and then never did.
I can't believe I've been watching this company for like that long.
And I mean, I know like Bob Ryder, but it's like, what did Bob Ryder really do for you? Like, honestly, it would have been better if Bob Ryder was like, get the fuck out of my office, and then you would have got signed by Vince, and probably right now you'd be like feuding with the Fiends that are Randy Orton. I don't know.
The best part is watching this on Twitch and seeing these fucking like Impact marks go like, WWE is ruining Bobby Roode. Bobby Roode needs to leave.
Well, to be fair, they're not really doing a good job of Bobby Roode right now.
Dude, he's a tag team champion right now.
I know. That's how bad the tag team championships are, though. So.
Yeah. But, like, dude, he should not leave.
He shouldn't.
Yeah, but, like, these guys are like, oh, they need to leave. He needs to come back to Impact. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. By the way,
I think if I was Bobby Roode, you know where I would go? I would go with NWA. And I would put the title on him in NWA. But that's about it.
I don't think NWA has money.
Impact would be so sad. Imagine him coming James up. Storm I'm no longer glorious.
Yeah, James Storm was in the NWA. And he was just like, I don't think he was getting paid. So he fucking left.
Mm.
You know? By the way, on Twitch, we are down to... the 3,000, 4,000 number again. So this is still pre-AEW crossover numbers.
Mm. Yeah, no one's watching this shit.
And so basically, you know what it is? It's they just maintain their original fan base. That's why if you watch on Twitch, there's no more like this infighting between AEW and Impact guys. Just shitting.
No, the fans. AEW people lost interest.
Yeah, it's just all guys going like.
Dude, AEW has been. I don't know how they can be happy. AEW has been so fucking shitty to this company and this partnership. I don't know how. I would I would love to interview Scott DeMore. My first question: are you a fucking idiot? Like, no, seriously, are you a fucking idiot? Why did you agree to this? Like, what do you think this is doing for you?
We had no other choice.
I needed more screen.
No, he wouldn't even say it like that. He would throw in like 20 more words.
He would.
What do you mean you're gonna ask me that question? How can you ask me that question?
He would try to explain like the company because we're getting a plug every week on TNT. That's what Eric Bischoff tried to say. They're getting a plug on TNT every week. That's pretty big. It's like really did nothing for them.
He'll start it off by saying something stupid like an old man once looks into the wind and he says like it's just some kind of weird metaphor that doesn't mean anything to like start it off. What a fucking loser. Deonna Purrazzo and Susan are getting interviewed and talking about Jazz. Jazz comes out and starts attacking them, throws a fucking plastic garbage can at them. Ooh, and they're knocked out. This plastic garbage can. Then we're going to go to match number 2. Sami Callihan versus Larry D, who is sporting new neon green gear. What do you think about the gear?
Hated it.
It kind of made him like stick out more. So I was like, that's all right.
He already sticks out a lot, bro.
No, but like it makes him look. I don't know. It made
how much
him
more
like,
do you want him to stick out? If he sticks out anymore, he's gonna fucking.
I think like Larry D. I think Larry D. is actually not bad. Fits his role. Anyways, this is actually a more competitive match than I thought it was gonna be. Sami Callihan hits that rope draped pile driver that MJF uses as the heat sinker. He does that for the finishing move. He wins the match. As soon as he wins the match, AC Romero comes to the ring, beats up Sami Callihan, and Larry D and AC Romero walk off with their they just walk off, and then Sami Callihan's left smiling in the ring. What did you think of this match?
I hated it. I hate everything with Sami Callihan. He screams to me a company that has no money. He just is so bad. I'm sorry. I hated this. The draw. He's the draw. He's drawing three. You know those 3,000 people are there for him.
Yeah.
Say that with a straight face?
Were you the one who said he draws flies?
Dude, how do you say that? How do you look at these numbers and call yourself the draw? And how do they not get? How does he not be like? They're not just constantly making fun of him. The other wrestlers, like, oh, here's the draw.
Yeah,
you know, like, how does like he's not just a goofy character? I'm the draw.
Yeah, it's like it's such a fucking it's such a loser. Like,
dude, that's like at the end of WCW, like fucking Scott Steiner, like I'm the most must see WCW champ of all time, like something like that while they're like going out of business.
Yeah, it'd be like Norman Smiley coming out and be like, I'm the main inventor.
I'm the main inventor. I'm the draw. I'm the reason why no one's watching WCW.
It's like, dude, can you imagine somebody coming to your house be like, yo, the headliner is right?
Dude,
like,
So
introduce me. Hey, so what are your credits? What do you want me to say before I bring you up? I want you to say headliner. The headliner, like
the main event.
Like, I don't know. Fucking Brian Kemp is like, dude,
the headliner. Brian Kemp. We should call Brian Kemp the draw. We should call him Brian Kemp the draw.
The draw.
Brian Kemp. It's me, bro. I'm the draw, bro. Everyone's here because of me, fool. What do we call it? I Sami Callihan's horrible. So you know, here's the thing. I think Impact is such a dumb fucking company. They actually think he's the draw. Like, if you're like the Scott DeMore, we need to get rid of Sami Callihan. He's like, but where are those 3,000 fans going to go? He draws them.
No, Impact is so dumb that I bet you Scott DeMore is the one who gave him the nickname, The Draw.
You're the draw. Sammy,
you're the draw.
You are. You're the reason we all have jobs.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Then we're going to get into some of the worst parts of the show.
No, it's not. We're not already there.
We're not even at the worst part of the show, guys. They showed us really, really nice Finn Juice video package from New Japan Pro Wrestling of them as Impact World Tag Team Champion,
you know, Will
Ospreay, representing this company, kicking some ass in New Japan in front of packed houses during the pandemic. But it was a cool video package. And then they show that the Bullet Club, yeah, are actually watching this in the back. And we're talking about the Good Brothers, Kenny Omega, and fucking Don Callis are watching this. And they're doing the fucking thing. This is the thing that I hate the most. This is why WWE started scripting things, I think, where they're not given a script and they just say, we're going to, this is the talking points. Everybody go. Everyone talks over each other.
Thank you. That's what I thought this evening. Like, why are they talking? It doesn't even sound natural.
No.
They're just talking over each other.
Yeah. And it's like, see, okay, a normal conversation, right? Mm-hmm. If you are talking and I just like, start interrupting, like I wouldn't do that. I would stop and I go, I'll let you finish, right? They don't do that in wrestling fucking things and sketches.
Yeah, they don't do it in wrestling indie shows. They do it in WWE. They don't do it like Kenny Omega was just like mumbling nonsense under his breath, and Don Callis is talking over him. They're all just talking at once, like,
yeah, they're not even acknowledging what each other is saying.
Yeah,
like Don Callis was like, oh, in this business, he's talking about in the wrestling business, and then Kenny Omega just going like under his breath, show business, something with show business, and it's just like nobody's even acknowledging it. All it's doing is just like it sounds. You know who used to do this a lot? And I used to hate the show when they were doing it. If you watch the first season of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, they were doing the thing where they would just constantly just talk over each other, and it wasn't good. I didn't think it was that good. But then as the years progressed, they don't do that anymore. They got better, and it's actually become one of my favorite shows to watch. Impact Wrestling has not gotten better. They've gotten worse. They just do this thing where they constantly talk over each other. They do this thing where Kenny Omega whispered something into Don Callis' ear. Don Callis whispers it to the Good Brothers, and then the Good Brothers get up and leave. I did not give a shit about this segment. This segment was stupid. It was stupid as fuck.
It was bad.
Yes.
It is not natural. It makes Kenny Omega look horrible. It makes him look like a fucking amateur. It was fucking atrocious. I don't know what else to say besides Kenny Omega, this shit in Impact is actually hurting his career.
Yeah, I think it's making him look trashy.
Yeah. And
like he doesn't look like a class character.
It's not helping him because it's kind of like he's just like part of this show now. There's nothing special about him.
No, there is not.
I don't know, but it was just so badly acted. Dude, the Good Brothers, did you see the segment of Being the Elite where the Good Brothers like swinging their dicks around in front of the Young Bucks?
No.
I saw it on Twitter today. And I'm just like, how did I get it. WWE sucks. I get it. WWE, last night's Raw, I'm so glad we didn't watch it, sounded unwatchable. I get it. But, like, these guys always act like they're going to go to another company and produce, like, they're going to become, like, produce, like, the most mind-blowing shit. And how do they think, oh, yeah, let's swing our dicks around while the Young Bucks watch? How the fuck do they think that is an improvement over what they were doing in WWE? And I'm not saying they did anything good in WWE, and they are 100% correct. WWE stunk and held them back. Rusev, all these guys. But how is this their idea of, now that I'm free, I get to do what I want, this is what I'm going to do?
I know.
Because you know, here's the other thing. Like, at the end, was like, yeah, swing your dicks around. That'll be really funny. You know, Vince McMahon went up to them and was like, tonight, boys, you're going to swing your dicks around. They would have been, they'd be like on the fucking internet. I mean, Vince McMahon is killing their careers.
How many stars did Dave Meltzer give that?
Dave Meltzer gave it 8 stars. He loves
watching dicks. He covers that show.
He covers the show like it's a real show. He
works for
NXT UK or MLW or NWA Power, but he'll cover the dick swinging show.
Yeah, he'll cover being the
lead. He was helicoptering his dick, you know. Yeah. You know, apparently in Japan they do that all the time.
Yeah, you know why they did that, right?
You know why they did that, right?
No, Dave, why don't you tell us? That's what Brian Evans. No, Dave.
You know, this is what brings in the new fans, you know, the dick swinging.
Yeah. Then we get, after commercial break, Sammy Callahan and Trey Miguel. They're talking. And Sammy starts off the conversation with...
Sammy Callahan's a more in shape brother than Saigon.
He's what?
A more in shape Brendan Sagalow.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that 100%. Yes.
Or Brendan Sagalow.
Yeah. Sammy Callahan starts off with explaining to Trey why Trey owes him. And Trey Miguel starts yelling at him, "What do I owe you? Why do you think I owe you?" And I'm just like, that's the first thing he told you. It was why you owe him. This was basically Trey Miguel. Someone needs to tell Trey Miguel, like, constantly yelling every sentence does not make you a serious wrestler, like a serious character, you know? Like, a lot of these wrestlers think, like, if they yell every single line, it makes them a serious wrestler, you know? Yeah. It's like, no, it doesn't. It just makes you look like an idiot. Like, it makes you look like you're trying way too hard. This
segment,
like,
you think he puts on NXT UK and it's like, I made a horrible mistake.
NXT UK?
I mean NXT. Well, also NXT UK. All the when he sees MSK, you think he's like, I made a horrible mistake?
No, because I don't think it was his decision. I agree with you. I don't think they wanted him.
Dude, but you know he's gotta be like, these guys are doing so much better than me. You know he's gonna feel like that.
I think he lies to himself and he probably tells himself that, so look at these guys, they haven't even been on TV in like 3 weeks. I bet you he says something like, look at these guys. They haven't even been on, they even have a match on TV in like
jokes on them.
Yeah, jokes on them. I'm wrestling every week. This segment was terrible. Like, you could see how Sammy Callahan was like trying to like get the point of the segment going, but he can't because Trey keeps just like shouting at him and is getting in his face, and he's trying his best to just keep it going. This was so fucking stupid. I don't even know. Why are these guys fighting?
Because Sammy Callahan feels like I think the story is Sammy Callahan's like, we gave you a goodbye, now you're back, and you should move on with your career. I don't know. So Sammy Callahan's trying to help him out. I don't know.
So why is Trey mad at him? I don't understand.
I guess Trey's mad at him because like Sammy told him that he should have left and stayed gone.
It's like, Trey's like, I wanted the draw nickname. That should be mine.
I don't know, but this is, dude, I really did think, you asked me when we started doing this podcast of the Rascals, I would have been like, oh yeah, Trey Miguel's the guy, not these two fucking losers. And now I'm like, oh, I was so fucking wrong. I could not have been more wrong. And that's at least, man, I think Vince and Tony Khan, I admit when I'm wrong about someone.
Yeah. I think I'm on the same boat with you. I think I probably felt the same way.
Dude, remember there was one episode of this podcast I was just screaming about how bad the Rascals suck?
I was
screaming at you that you didn't.
Yeah, yeah, and I was telling you they're not that bad. They're actually pretty good. They're actually
funny. Now I think they're like they're the best. They're probably like the best tag team on the planet right now.
No, but I'm also wrong too, because I legit also thought Trey was the best one out of these three.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I really thought like, oh, they should just give the belt to sometimes last summer I was like, they just give the belt to Trey Miguel. That's what I thought. At some points in the last summer, I thought that. And man, was I fucking wrong. Man.
Yeah. This guy was actually in like the main event. He was like
Slammiversary.
I couldn't believe. Yeah. I just. Whew.
Yeah. I was like, why can't it just be Trey Miguel versus Ace Austin? And I was kind of right. I was more right about Ace Austin.
Yeah. Jesus. Yeah. All right, so we're going to go to match number three. It's Suicide versus the most professional wrestler, Brian Myers, who's still sporting the eye patch. He hits his shitty finisher, which is a clothesline, which is called the roster cut. Oh, man, everything about this is so, like, we get it, bro. You got, like, butt hurt when you got fucking released from WWE. It's like, and Matt Stryker doesn't help the situation at all. Stupid commentary. If you get a phone call after Friday afternoon from an area code with this and that, don't pick it up. You're going to get cut.
What does that mean? Like, they always say that, don't pick it up. So if you don't pick up the phone, Vince is like, oh, you know what? You still have a job.
Like, yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's how it works. So like every Friday they call Bo Dallas to fire him. He doesn't pick up. I'm like, all right, it's fine.
Imagine that's why he's still there. Can you imagine that's why he's still there? Dude, Why does he have to call it like the roster cut? Why does he have to do this? I don't understand.
Why do you keep reminding? So I think they all think because Steve Austin kind of built Stone Cold Steve Austin ECW, complaining that WCW cut him. Here's the difference. Steve Austin was a once-in-a-lifetime talent. None of us knew it. And Paul Heyman started bringing it out of him. And also, like, that was only, like, for a few weeks. And then he went to WWE and never yelled and screamed about getting fired by Eric Bischoff ever again. Until Eric Bischoff went to WWE, and then they had a feud about it, you know, on Raw. But it wasn't even that much of a feud. It was just Austin being the shit out of him and moving on. So, like, and Austin and Eric Bischoff became friends. So, like, fucking, this is a year later, and you're still going on that you were fired. You have yet to do one thing to make me think that they made a mistake firing you. And the more you harp on it, the more you harp that you're a loser that got cut by WWE, the less I think you can ever be anything other than a complete fucking loser.
Yeah, all he's doing is reminding me that he got fired.
Yeah, stop reminding me of that.
Yeah, stop reminding me that you got fired. Like, because you know what? Because you know what it does? Because it reminds me that you got fired twice. That's what it does. That's what it actually does.
But, like, also stop reminding – because then I think back to you, his WWE character was the guy who never, ever won a match. Don't you remember? Like, he had the losing streak. So stop reminding me of that character when your character – so the losing streak guy is can go toe-to-toe with Eddie Edwards and fucking everyone else at Impact. What does it say for Impact? What does it say for the draw?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. All right, so then Jazz is with Tommy Dreamer, and she's like, "Where's Scott D'Amore? I want a match." But Dreamer, from the few episodes ago, he was given, like, Scott D'Amore put him in charge of booking their next Impact Plus show called Hardcore Justice, which is next Saturday. Not this coming Saturday, but next Saturday, right? Mm-hmm. And Tommy Dreamer goes, "Hey, I'll give you a match with Deonna Purrazzo, but we got to put something on the line. Deonna Purrazzo, if you win, you get her title. But what are you going to give up if you lose, Jazz?" And Jazz goes, my career is on the line. What do you think? You think she's going to win it or lose?
No, she's going to lose, and we never see her again. I, you know what? I miss Jazz. I take it back. I don't miss her anymore. Let's carry on with our life. Impact could bring in Owen Hart could come back from the dead and sign with Impact. And I'll get tired of him in 3 weeks. I'd be like, oh, actually, I was wrong to miss Owen Hart. That's how bad of a company they are. Like, I really thought, oh, Jazz is so great. She should be in Royal Rumbles. And all Impact has done is been like, maybe she wasn't that great. Maybe it was like,
my new nickname is the Bleeding Heart. Oh, everyone calls me that, the Bleeding
Heart. I'm the draw. The Falling Angel, Owen Hart. Dude. I just I'm telling you, they could do that. They who else? Or Brody Lee. Brody Lee could come back to life, go to Impact, and people would be like, there's nothing much to this guy. Like, it's just, they don't know. They just really make you see every, dude, this is what they do. They don't hide anyone's flaws. So all you do is see their flaws. Say what you will about Paul Heyman. He did an amazing job at ECW of hiding guys' flaws.
I bet you there's going to be some fucking losers listening. If they listen to this, they're going to be like, I can't believe they made fun of Owen Hart. Somebody called Jimmy Havoc. Jimmy fucking Havoc.
Enjoy. No, I'm just saying as an example that if Owen Hart was resurrected by Jesus this Easter weekend and he came back to life and he was and you know, fucking the world would stop because that's insane. But then if he signed with TNA, because he probably wouldn't sign with WWE. Let's be honest. I don't think it's Martha Hart would want him to go back to
WWE. No, I mean, he wanted to leave, you know.
But also, like, Martha would be very upset if he went back. I'm sure Vince
You didn't watch that Dark Side of the Ring, right?
I listened to a bunch of it. No, I know. They're legit with their anger. But what I'm saying to you is he would probably go to AEW. But let's say he goes to Impact, right, for whatever fucking reason. Yeah. He would not be over after about a month. After about a month, no one
would care that he was back. I agree. Impact Wrestling will somehow figure out a way to ruin
the wrestler who got resurrected after 22 years of being in a grave. The first person to ever come back to life, Impact would fuck up that guy's push.
You know what's so weird is that, like, Impact was known for creating all these new stars, though. Mm-hmm. You know, right? If you think about it, they made AJ Styles, they made Bobby Roode, they made James Storm, they made fucking Samoa Joe. I guess, yeah, Samoa Joe, I'll give him that. It was really Ring of Honor, but they were the ones who really, like, really put Samoa Joe on the map.
Well, you know, this is what Impact had.
Gail Kim, you know?
Impact had, the future of wrestling was an Impact. They stumbled upon it. For whatever reason, whoever, is JR and JR, I think it's more Johnny Ace than JR, but Johnny Ace did not sign any of these guys. He said no to Chris Daniels, AJ Styles, Kazarian, Samoa Joe, and maybe even JR might have said no to a few of them or whatever. But they didn't sign these guys. They got about three or four guys right in WWE. But everybody else was a fucking disaster. Sure, you go to the line, Charlie Haas, Rico, fucking Tyson Tomko. There's a whole lost generation, right? Mm-hmm. Carlito, Chris Masters, the real stars, the real future of the industry were in TNA. But they just stumbled upon it by accident, TNA. AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Kazarian, Alex Shelley, those guys were just so great, TNA's shittiness couldn't hold them down. Because once you got them in the ring, they shined. Because they were at the peak. AJ Styles was at his peak.
No, that's a very good theory. These guys were always going to be the future of the business. Impact, TNA just were lucky enough to have
them. Yeah, and they were just lucky enough that Jim Ross, Vince, and Johnny Ace just didn't recognize it. And so for years, they had these people, but then they pissed them all off. And they, you know, once AJ Styles went to WWE, Vince has said, I should have signed you in 2002. You should have been the top star all the last 20 years.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. And, Impact has also had its fair share. TNA's had a fair share of also letting people go with not realizing what they had.
Yeah.
CM Punk. CM Punk's a very good example. They had him first, guys. Yeah, and they fucking screwed the pooch on that.
But you know what? To their credit, I think early on they made AJ Styles a big deal. AJ Styles was a big deal to me in 2003, which is, you know what I mean? You think about it. Today. Mm-hmm. He did a great job with Samoa Joe. So I'm not even talking about those people, but the people now in charge, MSK didn't develop the skills they have in fucking WWE overnight. It was clearly there a year ago.
Yes.
And the way they produce the show, the way they showcase the talents, they're basically hurting these talents because for all we know, fucking Jordynne Grace could show up in WWE and have the match of the year with fucking Asuka. But we're not seeing it from her in this on this company. Because
All
we're seeing is her break character and barely one act, you know?
Yeah. Good point. So then after the Jazz thing, we get an AEW ad, Tony Khan and Tony Schiavone. Tony Khan does most of the talking in this. He's in his heel character. And you can see Tony Schiavone's face, just like you can see it in his eyes. That
Tony Schiavone, I look like he was like, I wish I didn't come back to wrestling.
Yeah, yeah, he had the look in his face, like in his eyes, where like he is well aware of what this is because he's been in this position before, where the people in charge are like so full of themselves now that they think that they're part of the show, like. And can't say anything because they're the boss. They're the boss, you know?
This was by far the worst segment Tony Khan has been in on this Impact. The first few were great. And he lost whatever he was trying to do. He lost whatever he was trying to do weeks ago. And this was unwatchable. This was like, he was just, oh, no, we're going to the match. Oh, I have the forbidden door. Oh, no. And he had the heart-shaped glasses.
Oh, my God, dude. Did you see him on Evolution, the first one, where he was doing that? Where he was like...
Oh, yeah. It's like a meme on Twitter. Like, why is this guy
acting so bad? He just...
Dude, it's fucking...
He's so fucking bad, dude.
So bad.
So fucking bad.
It's so bad. Dude, even Dixie Carter was a better actor. I hate the fucking...
He's like...
Linda McMahon was a better actor than this fucking guy, bro.
This guy's living his Mark fucking dream. He's like, and you know what he's doing? He's going in the back and going like, how was that? And everyone's like, that was an Oscar-worthy performance. Nobody is telling him the truth. You know nobody's telling him
the truth. I think anyone who wants to get into wrestling like this with the money wants to be on camera. And you know, 100%. Because of what Eric Bischoff and Vince McMahon did. It's just that Eric Bischoff and Vince McMahon are great actors. Like, say what you will about Eric Bischoff, I know you don't like him. He was a great actor. You gave him a script and he fucking delivered. And I think they all think they can do that.
You know what's a good example of that? When he was in WWE.
Oh, Bischoff was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Bischoff
was willing to do whatever you wanted to do.
I don't like Eric Bischoff, but when he was like, there's proof that he's actually was a good on-screen character is the fact that he was able to do such a good role while he was in WWE. Because he doesn't have
that card. I'm saying WCW and WWE stumbled upon the good, because WCW didn't put Eric Bischoff in charge. They're like, this guy's such a good actor. It just kind of happened naturally. And I think now everyone thinks, well, like Bischoff and Vince could do it. I can do it. Dixie Carter tried it.
Oh my God, Dixie Carter was bad.
They all thought, even Billy Corgan for a moment tried it. And when he was,
yeah, Billy, did you hear? Did you see that one episode where Billy Corgan screams, like, stop?
Like, yeah, it was just so like, all they bad. All think they can do it.
Oh, because,
and I'm convinced that Tony Khan always wanted to be on camera when he bought this fucking company.
Yeah.
But he was just like keeping it to himself.
Dude, we said it was going to happen too. We said it was going to happen. We gave him like I gave him 2 years, and he got there earlier.
I can't believe Dave Meltzer want like Brian Alvarez and Meltzer want to shit on The Miz, and The Miz has been pretty bad lately. But The Miz, if he had better scripts and better direction, could be a great actor. And he has natural charisma. You can't deny that. Mm-hmm. This fucking guy, they should literally be on their radio, being like, Tony Khan, stop making these segments. They're fucking horrible.
And they're not doing
Impact any favors. I was getting mad for Impact watching this fucking segment.
Like, yeah.
I would, dude, how do you not, if I was fucking Scott D'Amore, or I would call up this fucking guy, like, how dare you send this to me to put on my show? This is fucking embarrassing. Would you put this on your stupid fucking show, bro?
Yeah.
This is fucking embarrassing.
To Billy Corgan's credit, he has not become a character on his NWA show. And it's been
once people
start, it's been over a year, dude.
But they had no show for a year.
yeah, he hasn't been a character.
He might have been the mayor of Carneyland. You don't know.
Yeah, so I will give him credit for that. One of the things he does do, but is he writes music that's used for like their major shows. Like, you know what?
That's they had good. He should. He,
I like that. That's actually really good.
That's
yeah,
a great idea. He should
write Hard Times.
I hope he's writing all the entrance music, because that's a smart thing to do.
Do you remember Hard Times when he wrote that song Hard Times for the pay-per-view? It's really good. I like it. I actually like that song.
Yeah, no, so, like, he should do that. Good for him.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. So that's to his credit. Not Tony Khan. Okay, now comes the only part of the show that I actually enjoy. At the start of the second hour, we're at Swinger's Palace. This is the fake casino that Johnny Swinger runs. And it's like in this fucking like little conference room. Johnny Bravo's the dealer. They got these three, like, they are like the most local towny strippers you've ever seen.
They've been in other episodes, though. They've been here for a while.
Yeah, I know, but they're like, I think they picked them because they were like, we need the most average looking strippers that we can find. Mm-hmm. The most like average looking girls. It's perfect. It's perfect casting. Whoever picked them, it's perfect. This one girl's got the shitty like chest tattoos, right?
Oh yeah, that was fucking hilarious. But they've been on the show for a while.
Yeah, but that's why I love them. It's great. It's just, it's awesome. And what I liked about this, finally, Don Callis and fucking Kenny Omega come to Swinger's Palace. It's the first time they're there. Normally, it's filled with losers like Alicia Edwards and fucking Fala Ba. Not anymore. It's like you got these fucking A-listers coming in. Don Callis did the fucking whole like weak handshake thing that Sonny Swinger fucking loved it. He loved it. He was just like, yeah. And then they basically, they raised the odds that Kenny Omega put 20K on his match against Rich Swann. That was the whole segment. This was actually a good segment. I like it.
Don Callis is good. Kenny Omega I kind of feel like Kenny Omega is being overwhelmed because even Johnny Bravo is a better actor than him. So like,
Kenny Omega is not a good actor.
No, so he like kind of kept his head down. I think he knew, dude, if you ever put Kenny Omega in like a fucking a skit with The Rock, let's say like The Rock and Cena, and even Hogan, if you put Kenny Omega in a skit with those three of them,
oh, I think
he would just get lost.
Not even John Cena.
Orton? Orton in the
no, ring? Orton can run. Dude, come on.
Yeah,
no,
there's no. You know, Bobby Lashley would run circles around him.
People might be like, "Well, he's a good wrestler." I'm like, dude, you guys don't understand what fucking wrestling is. Not dude, just about your in-ring work, guys. It's not just about
it's
that.
Not. Kenny Omega looks so confused back there. Like, I think he knew, like, this fucking Johnny Swinger can out-act me.
He and... in the ring, he's fantastic, but like,
oh yeah,
when you like. Put him in like American wrestling scenarios, he's just not good.
I think Meltzer and a lot of these people do him a disservice because he is amazing in the ring, but yes. He's got to work on a lot of other stuff. His facial expressions, his acting things are just so fucking goofy. And it's like, if he just worked on that, he could be what everyone says he is. But like, you know, you can never criticize him. He's just perfect with everything he does. His dick squirts out gold. I don't know.
Yeah, you know where he is? He's kind of like, he's like almost like Big E in delivering lines. He like over delivers lines. Like what?
Big E's a better actor than him.
Actually, I don't know. I think maybe Omega might be better than Big E. I don't know. They both kind of suck. They're both in the same shitty
That's
level.
You hate black people, dude.
So. I do, I guess. But, not as much as I hate women, bro.
Okay, that's true. Yeah.
All right. So anyway, I liked this segment. I thought it was fun, and it was fun seeing the fucking finally Kenny Omega and fucking Don Chaos kind of cross over into more like Wrestle House kind of characters. Remember when we thought they were gonna keep him away from this the whole time? Or like they're gonna keep him away? They were like, it's so embarrassing. They're gonna keep it away. They're gonna hide it. No, that's. Since this has happened, this crossover happened, they are no longer the most embarrassing thing. I would say it's the Tony Khan ads. That was the most embarrassing.
Tony Khan's pretty bad.
We go to match number four. It's TJP and Josh Alexander versus Ace Austin and Madman Fulton. There is an argument between TJP and Josh Alexander on who's the legal man, which allows Ace Austin to roll up TJP for the victory. Afterwards, TJP and Josh Alexander argue some more. This was just a TV match. I didn't think it was anything special.
It wasn't that good. Did you see the promo TJP and Josh Alexander cut on before the impact?
No, I didn't.
It was not good. Josh Alexander did most of the talking. I think him and Ethan Page, they really did themselves no favors.
TJP is also not a good talker.
Who?
TJP is not a good talker.
No, but I'm saying like these two should have stuck together. I really feel like Josh Alexander... a few more years as North, I think, could have like elevated him. He's not ready to be on his own like this, and it's very apparent when he's giving the promo, like, dude, like, you had such a good thing going, and
yeah,
fuck, man, I feel really bad for him. He got fucked for no reason, and now Ethan Page is on elevation. I don't know, dark.
This is who Kenny Omega reminds me of, TJP. Great in ring work, but just terrible at everything else.
Yeah, this match was okay. I didn't hate it, but I wasn't like, oh my god, this is such a great match. So,
So Willie Mack is with in the back. Don Callis approaches him. They start making fun of Rich Swann. Rich Swann comes out. They start getting an argument. Rich Swann is also bad at talking. Don Callis goes, "All right, for this next 10 minutes, I'm not your boss. Let's go fight right now." And this actually sets up for the Good Brothers and Kenny Omega to come beat the crap out of both Willie Mack and Rich Swann, and Eddie Edwards makes the save. And so there looks like Eddie Edwards getting in the mix of this as well.
Next week, and they announced this like 2 weeks ago, it's going to be the Good Brothers and Kenny Omega versus Rich Swann, Willie Mack, and Eddie Edwards for the first episode on Thursday.
This was the first time I was actually intrigued by Eddie Edwards' involvement in anything in probably 2 years. Like, this is the first time I was like, oh, shit, Eddie.
At least somewhat Impact is kind of fighting back. Just exactly. Even if it's half-heartedly.
You know what
get
I want to
see? Go away.
I want to see him get in the ring with Kenny Omega. Let's be honest. Kenny Omega, he right now, like, we're shitting on him a lot right now. But he is one of the few most talked about guys in the wrestling world right now. Right?
Yeah.
And I feel like whenever you're going to be stepping in the ring with him, if it's your first time facing him, you're going to bring your A game, like Moose did. you know? And I feel like when he's in the ring with Kenny Omega, we're going to see like the old Eddie Edwards. Like this, yeah. Like he's actually going to try. Like he's not just going to phone it in. And I'm excited to see that because Eddie Edwards wasn't a bad wrestler back then, you know? I feel like he's going to really bring it in. So I'm actually intrigued. It's the first time I'm excited about anything Eddie Edwards is doing. Legit. In probably 2 years or more. Actually, this is the first time I'm excited about Eddie Edwards since he got hit in the face with a baseball bat. How long ago was that? That was like 2 years ago, right?
It might have even been three, bro.
That was when he started going crazy. Remember?
It was three. It was three because he started doing the hardcore thing. He was doing the hardcore thing at the 2018 Bound for Glory, and that was 3 years ago.
Yeah, okay. That was the last time I got excited about Eddie Edwards when he got hit in the face with a baseball bat, and I was like, what's going to happen with him? How is that?
You know the last time I got excited for Eddie Edwards?
What?
Never. Just get him going.
Really? But remember the time where him and like Davey Richards were like, are they coming to NXT? And they were in NXT. Are they going to sign with WWE?
I mean, yeah, he was good as one of those. But like ever since he's done this goofy gimmick, I've just not been into it.
Yeah. All right. So then we get a coming soon like video. That's for Taylor Wilde, you think? That's what everyone's saying. It was like a punk rock. It was like a punk rock.
That doesn't really fit her image, but I would love to see Taylor Wilde back. I know you're not a fan of hers because you hate women. But I love her. I thought she was so good. I thought she was one of the best from that era, from 10 years ago. I thought she was really great. From 2008, 2010, I really liked her. So I would love to see her back. So,
do you think this was for her?
I don't think so. I think it's for like a male wrestler, but we'll see. They I would love it for.
They did what? Say that she re-signed, all right? Taylor Wilde.
They signed it like, dude, in January. I mean,
January?
Yeah. I don't know. If it's her, dude, I would be really excited because I really do like her. So,
yeah.
And I think, like, I think her career ended too soon. I would have loved to see more of her. I know this for some reason, I think she's really awesome. And I know also, I think she's
what happened? Why did she?
She decided she hates women like you, bro.
Oh, because I'm not really familiar with
you. I don't know. I don't really know. I don't think anybody knows. Maybe they do. I just never looked into it. She just vanished. I think she was a firefighter for a while. I think she's still a firefighter.
Wow, that, you know what that means? Then she's probably still in really good shape.
Well, no, I follow her on Twitter. She posts pictures. She's in amazing shape.
Oh, okay. Rohit Raju is in the back, and he's like talking to Hernandez, and he's like, "Hey, we had a great tag team match on DTI. Let's keep tagging." Goes, "Hey, man, you gotta understand, this is not a tag team partnership. It's like a you pay me partnership." It's like, okay. Then we get a Violent by Design video. I have no idea what they were talking about. What was it? Are we going to talk about?
The holy water of change. I don't know. The same shit he always says, dude. I could care less. I could care less. This whole thing is dead in the water for me. I don't give a fuck about Violent by Design. I don't really give a fuck.
Yeah. Tommy Dreamer's holding a meeting in the back with most of the women in the women's roster. And he's going, "Hi, Hardcore Justice. We're going to have a women's gauntlet match where all weapons are allowed. Every woman in that scene gets like, you know, they did that thing where they say one line and they walk away." Jordynne Grace had the deepest fucking voice I had heard. Do you remember her voice really deep? It was like, "Oh man." That was like, what the fuck?
Oh yeah. Yeah. That was something. Right.
Yeah, so deep.
Alicia Edwards, dude, why do they keep trying to make her funny or make her do anything?
I mean, I did kind of find it funny. She was like, "Can you explain what this means, Tommy, please?" And he's just like, "Can someone please take her? I never understand what she's talking about."
Dude, here's my problem with that segment. So Jessica Havoc got beat up by her best friend, right? Beaten.
Yes.
Why is Jessica Havoc now like, "Ooh, I'm going to be a number one contender smash"? Why wasn't she like, "I want fucking Nevaeh at Hardcore
Justice"? Yeah, exactly. It was... This segment.
She's over it. Dude, It hasn't been an hour and you're just like over it. You're just like, "What? Is Nevaeh still even in the building or did she leave?" Like, and are you just like, "Oh, where's Nevaeh? My best friend who beat the shit out of me. Oh, she left. Oh, I'll just go to this meeting then." Like, dude, it's like, oh God. I guess Vince.
So there's two matches set already.
And it's supposed to be a week from now. There's only two matches.
No, it's not a week from now.
Well,
it's,
I mean, there's only one more impact. There's only one more impact before this fucking show.
Yeah. So there's it's Jazz versus Deanna Purrazzo for the belt.
And the women's scramble.
Scramble match. So far only two matches, I think.
Oh, they did tease their return of Sue Young. So.
Yeah, they said Sue, and she kind of walked away. All right, then we're going to go to our fifth and final match. It is Eric Young versus James Storm. It is a 1,000 impact match. He hits the everybody's out there, all, you know, the Coke crew. Dude. Violet by Design gets in a fight with James Storm's friend. Fucking Chris Harris grabs Eric Young's foot so that Eric Young walks into a last call super kick for James Storm to win. What were you going to say?
Dude, I would buy a DVD of all 1,000 of James Storm's matches. That would be the most depressing but funniest fucking DVD set to have.
Yeah, it would.
Dude, wouldn't that be such a fun thing? Because, like, to watch the company go from meh to, like, just to watch, like, how like, weird the company is. Like, it would just be, half the DVD would make no sense, I guarantee it.
Yeah, it's, I bet you he regrets not going to NXT. Like, if anybody, because you know what? Unlike Trey Miguel, this guy actually had a shot. Like, he, what happened? Ghost?
No, the cat was being rude, so I told
them to go fight. Like, this guy was actually in a few episodes of, you know, NXT, and, like, he was given, like, a contract. I think they lowballed him or something like that, but if I was him, I would have fucking signed.
Austin was a huge fan. I mean, I listened to him on Austin's podcast. Austin put him over, and Austin, hey, man, how come you're not in WWE? I think you'd be a world champion. I mean, Austin said to him, Austin, like, basically, yeah, and I really thought he could have made a difference. I thought he was better than what he got, and instead he had 1,000 matches.
Did you ever listen to James Storm give his side of the story of what happened?
No, you told me about it.
He sounds like an idiot. He sounds like a fucking complete idiot. You know what he sounds? He's like telling a half truth. Yeah. He wanted more money. He overvalued himself, and he fucking closed that door for himself like a fucking idiot. What a fucking moron, dude.
A moron. Nope. It's pretty bad. So, all in all, a terrible episode of Impact. James Storm has wasted his life.
And so have we. Yes. James Storm
has wasted his life. We watched those 1,000 fucking matches. I mean, I was there for a lot of them live, so I wasted my life, too.
I've watched a lot of those fucking matches.
You look at the end of the day, all the work that people put into TNA, like, they're thanking Bob Ryder. Bob Ryder died believing in this company, and I mean, what did he die for? This company is worse than it's ever been.
At least he's in better shape than Chris Harris.
Bob Ryder?
No, I meant James Storm. I was like,
Bob Ryder being dead is in better shape than Chris Harris.
Bob Ryder was in terrible shape. My God, what did he die of? COVID?
Probably. But they don't tell
him. Yeah, he was not in good shape, that guy.
Or cancer. I don't know what he died of.
Yeah.
He watched Russell House. He's like, what I wasted my life believing in.
His belief in Impact Wrestling. I spent
18 years fighting for this fucking shit.
Oh my God. This show was such garbage, dude.
Horrible. I don't see how Impact can ever recover from the pandemic. I just don't they're doing nothing. Even the people that are fans, like, I just love the fact that Impact embraces that it sucks, and it's like, I don't see any growth. I don't see anyone talking about this company. It doesn't help that basically AEW says they're shit every fucking week.
We got to talk about important news. So this is the last time they're going to be on Tuesday.
Next week they're going to be on Thursday. So now when we're free, we'll do a Thursday episode, and it'll be NXT UK in this show.
Do you think that's going to help them being on Thursday?
Well, it will, because there's no way they compete with NXT. Nobody was going to watch the show.
They were barely. I don't think being on the same night as AEW Dark was helping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that will help them, but it won't mean anything really. They'll maintain the 3,000 viewers. They would have lost 1,000 viewers, basically, I'm trying to say.
Yeah. They would.
I don't see how they can look at their numbers and not realize that they're kind of over. I mean, I really would just be like, Vince, how much for the tape library? And move on.
Yeah, dude. Peacock
would ban all of the footage.
I can't believe I bet you Anthem regrets fucking buying this company.
I don't know. I mean, like, they own this fucking channel, Access TV, and you have to wonder, like, is anyone really watching this channel other than people like me on, because I don't know anyone who watches anything on Access TV. So
no, I don't. I have cable that I don't watch Access TV.
Yeah, you. I don't think you get it, right?
No, I have to pay more for it. I'm like, fuck you. I'm not paying more for that shit.
Yeah, so maybe like the 100, because I think they got 100,000 on the channel, or
100,000 viewers only.
Yeah, on the for Impact on when it's on.
Oh, okay.
So maybe that 100,000 is the most viewers they have, and so maybe like they like, well, we can sell good ads, we can get a lot of money for the ads, so it's like worth it. Because, dude, who the fuck, like, they like rerun like old Eric Clapton fucking concerts the rest of the week, and like Purple Rain or something. Who the fuck is like watching that? Like, who, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, like, yeah.
Maybe like it's like there's like most of the time like 4,000 people watch the fucking channel. No one impacts on people actually watching.
Yeah, they just have concerts. It's supposed to be
yeah. So it's like maybe it's like, you know what? With at least people watch the channel, what Impact's on. So like, fuck it. Like,
yeah, because Impact actually has a lot of programming on that channel.
Yeah, but like it's free program. Like they showed Bound for Glory 2012 before this. It's essentially free programming, and if I guarantee you, more people are going to watch Bound for Glory than an Eric Clapton concert.
Before the Impact, I mean, like, if they were doing so bad, they wouldn't have created this new show called Before the Impact.
No, I think if they were on any other channel, they would be doing horrible.
Yes.
But I think on this channel, which they own, they're doing pretty good on the channel. So maybe they're not. I just don't see – all I see is it going down. I never see it going up. I just see it going down.
They're basically, they're the most respected at the open mic.
Yeah. All right. So that's Nick. We're not going to be back till Monday, guys. Sorry about it, but we will see you Monday on the week. WrestleMania week will be next Monday.
Good night, everybody. Next
Tuesday, we're going to do the Hall of Fame. So
only the Hall of Fame?
Well, power, if you fucking can find it. So.
Oh, okay. Oh, man, I don't want to watch the fucking Hall of Fame. God, I fucking hate that shit.
All right. Well, you hate women too. Thanks.